DJ,
One Nation, One Station.
Yes. Welcome to another edition of Big Exclusives. And I am your host, CeeLo the Great. And you know, as always, we're joined by the lovely celebrity consultant, Valerie Denise Jones. We got a great show lined up for you today. But first, I want to say what's up. Shouts out to all of our international callers out there, all of our international listeners as well. And I see y'all in the chat room as well. So once we get the interview started, go ahead, let the chat begin. So with that being said, man, you know what time it is. It is now 4:01 Eastern Standard Time, 3:01 Central Time, and 1:01 Pacific Standard Time. And we are in the place to be. We are on the airways. Big Exclusives is in the building, so tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend. We are live. So we want you all to share that on social media, on all your social medias, all the listeners out there. Go to social media right now. Put We Are Live, Big Exclusives, CeeLo the Great, Valerie Denise Jones, and we got our special guest, Muffler. Muffler is in the building from the L.A. Posse. So with that being said, man, we just going to dive right into it, and we're going to go to music break. And once we come back from this music break, we will be joined by our special guest, Muffler from the L.A. Posse, and we're going to find out where he's been, what he's been doing now, and what is to come. You know what I'm saying? So y'all sit back tight, hold on, because we will be right back with you after this music break. So, let's get it.
I can't be mad at you, mad at you. Yeah, you coming with that attitude. I'm on my way, on my way. That's what a lot of them. Yeah, that's what a lot of them.
You supposed to be uplifting and down to earth. You just be yelling out shit, I can't get out of words. I'm running out of nerves, cause you done got on all of them with your doubting words. You always tripping till you get what you need. Egyptian weed, I hit the weed, whatever it takes for you to stop skitzing on me. You twisted up my thoughts, now you think you think for me, and I don't get your mood, it's a mystery. Now you missing me.
I can't be mad at you, mad at you. Yeah, you coming with that attitude. I'm on my way up, up, up. That's what a lot of
got this attitude, I'm trying not to spaz at you. You got a young go-getter, why don't you show some gratitude? I can't be mad at you, cause I feel like I did this shit to myself. Live where we started, but you ended up sick for my health. I got some loud pack and an instrumental. I can't be stressing over you broad seats and moving you hard shit. I'm through what you are, but I'm never blocking my blessings. No, the haters great in the flow, I'm George as far as progression goes.
I can't be mad at you, mad at you. Yeah, you coming with that attitude.
For me, having friends to leave and come back again, to always sad trend. You negative and always nagging, cooling back, nagging again. You did me colder than the snow in Aspen. Quit asking who I'm on the phone with when I'm on the phone asking who is it. Now you out spazzing. I don't get it, it's pitiful. Your reaction talking shit, and then you asking me what happened. Shit, you know what happened.
I can't be mad at you, mad at you.
I can't be mad.
Nah. I can't be mad at you, especially not all of my listeners tuned in right now to Big Exclusives, and we got our special guest, Muffler, that was Attitude from his new project. Before I bring Muffler in, let me just read a little bit about Muff. L.A. Posse was initially made up of founders Dwayne Muffler Simon and Daryl Big Daddy Pierce, who were later joined by Bobby DJ, Bobcat Irwin, and Mark DJ Pooh Jordan. The team first rose to prominence when Def Jam founder Russell Simmons signed him to produce for rapper Breeze, leading to Simmons asking them to do pre-production on LL Cool J's 1987 album, Bigger and Deafer. So, with no further ado, no further delay, let's welcome the Big Exclusives, our special guest, Dwayne Muffler Simon.
Yo, you caught me right in the middle of smoking.
ain't nothing never wrong with that, Bob. You see how we started the show? Well, what is that?
Smoke weed every day.
Indeed. Yeah, so, man, I'm so happy, man, that you took time out of your day, your busy schedule, to join us right here on Big Exclusives. I did read a little bit about the backstory, man, but you're here now. You're live with our listeners. So, you got it. Let's get it, man. Go ahead and let the people know exactly who you are, your backstory, so we can go ahead and, you know, take it a little further. You got it. Let's get it.
Okay. You know what? I don't want to talk about me. I want to talk about you. Wait a minute. Now, let me talk to your listeners for a second. Now, listeners, I met Philo about, what was it, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I think it was 2 years, right? 2 years ago,
yeah,
at the J. King up in Sacramento. He has a small convention that's growing, actually. It's really getting real good. It's called the Creative Exchange. It's where veterans get together and they mingle and they rub elbows with the new cats, you know, and give them some advice and, you know, that type of stuff. It's a real cool forum if you want to bridge the gap between the old school and the new school. It's a real great forum for that. Plus, it's a lot of information that you get. But anyways, I met Philo at this Creative Exchange, and he gave me his CD. And the song was called, wait, what was the song?
You and me tonight.
You and me tonight. You and me tonight. And I was, you know, on the way home, you know, I bet you he thought that, you know, he ain't going to listen to my album. You know, I just gave it to him. Such and such. No, I actually listen to stuff that people give me. I really do.
Mm-hmm.
So on the way home, I drove to Sacramento. So I was driving back to, you know, to the L.A. area. And on the way home, I was, you know, flipping through his album, and I hit this song, You and Me Tonight. And I am not exaggerating. I had that song looped from Sacramento all the way back home. All the way. That's the only song I played.
Yeah.
That song.
Yeah.
Bang. That song just grabbed me. And ever since then, I've been connected to this brother right here.
Yeah. Hey, but Muff, I'm gonna tell you what blew my mind though, because exactly what you said. In my mind, this man probably ain't finna listen to my CD. But not only that, it made me proud that my contact information was good on it, because you called me off the number that was on the CD, and I was like, "Hello."
I called you on the road. I was on the freeway.
Right on the road. Off the number, like, "Hello." You was like, "Yo," and I'm like, "Who is you?" Like, I'm like, "This mother." You was like, "Yeah." You was like, "Man, that joint banging, bro. Me and my wife, we riding." You, man, when we politic, for real, for a minute.
Yeah, that shit grabbed me, man.
I was really mad.
I was mad that I didn't make that record. That's what that record, I was mad I didn't make that record. I'm like, man, that record is nice.
Well, I ain't gonna lie.
Anyway, having said that, y'all, if you ain't heard it, go out and get it. Feet on the Gray,
yeah.
You and Me Tonight. That joint right there, you will not be disappointed.
I'm waiting on you, though. It's still waiting on you, though, bro. Ain't no video to it or not. Nothing to it. They can't get it. It ain't now. They ain't get that CD right there in the hand, Mo. Hand to hand combat is not out. They can't go get that. So they like what they hearing now. If they go look that up, it won't exist because it's not out there. So that was on that
request
CD.
That, yo, wherever y'all at, request it. Make the radio station hound this brother. to give them that record. That record need to be on the air.
Yeah, we'll give it
anyway,
to him. We'll give it to him. But look, man,
all right, enough about you. Let's talk about me.
Yes, indeed.
Okay, well, I am Muffler. Bobcat gave me that name. So it's not whatever. It doesn't mean what everybody thinks, because a lot of people say Muffler. What's that have to do with it? Some women are like, no, it ain't got nothing to do with it. It has to do with studio music and 40 ounces of Old English 800. Because you know, when you drink, the first thing to go is your ears. So back in the day, you know, this was the 80s when Old English 800 40 ounces was. You know, we was in New York, so we was doing the Run DMC thing. We drinking 40 ounces of Old English. So I was actually working on, it was LL Cool J, and I was working on a song that actually didn't make the album, I think it was. I can't even remember the name of it. But anyways, I was working on that, and I was doing the mixing. Me and Steve Ed, rest in peace. He's the best engineer in hip-hop. We were working on the record, and LL, Bobcat, and Big Dad wanted to, you know, they was getting on my nerves. So I kicked them out the studio pretty much. Told them, yo, you guys go get something to eat, whatever, you get on my nerves. But I was drinking, and I'm not a drinker. People that know me, I'm not a drinker. I'm a smoker. I don't drink. Anyway, so I was drinking a 40-ounce, and them guys were going for like 2 or 3 hours. So after I thought I was finished with the record, I went into the lobby of Chung King Studios. If everybody know what Chung King is, it's historic studio. Anyways, I was in there, and I took a nap. I was, you know, I fell asleep. They came back and said, Muff, what are you doing, man? You sleep? I said, did you finish the record? I'm like, yeah, I finished it. Go in and just hit play. So we all get up. We go back into the control room, and LL hits play. And what you hear is, boom, 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 boom. It was, the entire track was muffled. Because that's the way I mixed it in my ears. My drunk ears. So from that point on, Bobcat said, you know, you done muffled the song. I'm going to call you Muffler from now on. So, and it stuck. And everybody's been calling me Muffler ever since. So that's the true story of how I got the name. Bobcat gave me that name.
Muffler. From drinking 40 to OE.
40 ounces of OE.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. I'll never do that again, either.
But, man, so, Muff, I want to talk to you, bro, because when I seen you, when I met you, you was on the panel,
right.
Giving advice, giving, like you said, young people advice at the Creative Exchange. So, I want to talk to you now because I never got a chance to ask you. Even all the conversations we've had, I never got a chance to ask you, bro, how was it like working with somebody like LL Cool J, working with Run DMC, like being around like actual real pioneers of hip-hop, not of rap, of hip-hop.
Of hip-hop, of the culture. I get you. Yeah, it was a learning experience, to say the least, because everybody that I worked with or met when I was in New York, because they said, people thought we were actually from New York. I'm like, no, dude, I'm from L.A. You want to be more, you know, specific? I'm from Sun Village, California. I'm out here in the middle of the desert. You know what I'm saying? So just everybody that we worked with and crossed paths with back in those days was a learning experience. With Run DMC, with LL, I learned what hard work was because he grinded. That second album, that Bigger and Deafer album, he was hungry. And he still has that hunger. You know, you meet a lot of hip-hop people that have made it. He still got that hunger. Like, he ain't even made it yet. He's trying to be that guy. You know what I'm saying? So, he still got that hunger. But back then, that boy was starving. We get in the studio and we work. We grind until we came out. We would not leave the studio until our necks were sore from our heads bobbing. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
Working with them, working with Run, I learned the importance of patience. Working with Houdini, I really learned the importance of time management. Because Houdini will tell you, show you what not to do. It's my boy,
right.
We can't ever be on time for nothing.
Wow.
No, for real, no. Houdini, they taught me that back then. It was the crew's gotten better since then, but back then we was, man. They taught me time management. And working with Ralph Tresvant, I learned family. You know, I learned with Michael Bivins, because back when I mixed the song he did called Rated R, I did a remix on it. And even though the group was not together anymore, and everybody had BBD was out, and you know, Ralph was doing his thing, and then Johnny Gill was doing his thing, and all that, Bobby Brown was doing his thing. But even though none of them were together, and this was Ralph's solo project, Michael Bivins came to the studio to make sure that his boy's record was on point. And that, you know, that was real cool working with Mike Bivins on that remix. He wanted to make sure that shit was right. So, you know, and it wasn't even his project. So I learned loyalty, togetherness, family. You know, I learned that from them guys. But everybody gave me a piece of life. You know what I'm saying? So that was really what I draw from all those experiences.
And I want to pay homage, man, to everybody you just named, man. LL, Houdini, Ralph Tresvant, yourself. First of all, I want to start with LL. LL, man, in my opinion, is one of the greatest MCs. When you mentioned top five, top three, whatever you want to say, top 10, LL don't be in my top three, if not my top space. And the reason why for LL taking my number one top space is because LL is one of the only artists, one of the few, who was able to really keep it moving when times changing. LL put out so many albums, and they were different from when he first came out with I'm Bad and all that. But as the times changed, when he got with Timbaland, LL just, whenever he just wanted to, he changed with the time. His music never was dated. He always changed with it. And that's why he like one of the best to me to ever do.
Yeah, with Todd, I always said he knows how to hit that refresh button. You know what I'm saying? I mean, when he got his Hollywood star on the Walk of Fame, we all felt like we got it. Me, Bobcat, Big Dad, E-Love, Cut Creator, we all felt like we got it too. But with Todd, he went through so many changes during his career. He remained the constant, of course. But after a while, instead of just E-Love and Cut Creator, he brought on Bobcat. Then I think Bobcat went away. Cut Creator was still there. E-Love had went away. Then Cut Creator went away, and L got another DJ. Then he got a band, and you know, like you said, he changed with the times. He stayed. He was like riding a surfboard. He rode those waves. He rode those waves of change. He rode them bad boys. So you know, that's another bright spot as far as LL Cool J is concerned, the artist. He's a complete package when it comes to artists. He's got the whole, I mean, tell me what he doesn't have.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As far
right.
as an artist, he's got the whole package.
And I agree. I second that. Houdini. You mentioned Houdini. Houdini.
Yeah.
With Big Mouth, Freaks Come Out at Night. That was actually the first concert I ever went to in my life. It was Houdini, the Fat Boys, and Heavy D. Houdini,
right.
the Fat Boys, and Heavy D. And they came to Memphis. And that was the first concert I ever went to in my life, man. And I'll never forget that. Houdini, I know it was a party because my mama loved a party, so, and that's who took me to the concert, my mama. So, and I was turned out from hip hop ever since. You know, I was with my mama, and I'm a shouty. And I was like, probably like, what, 5-6 years old? My mom took me to the concert because I loved hip hop. I loved it. And I was right there, you know what I'm saying, with her. And that's really where I got my first love of crowds and seeing people rock the stage and the reaction, and it just came from that moment. So when you mentioned him, it took me back there, and to have you here interviewing you, knowing that you was part of that, and I'm a kid not knowing you are a part of that moment. You know what I mean? And to have you right now being interviewed, dog, that's big to me. You know what I'm saying? Super big to me. So again, man, big ups, man. Big ups to you, Muff. And big ups to all those artists you named, all those legends, too, man, because they truly paved the way for people like myself.
No doubt. No doubt. Especially Houdini. Houdini, man, that's one group I'm proud to be associated with. I'm one of Houdini's road managers because they have Jalil is smart. He don't just hang on to just one dude. He have a road manager wherever he needs you. If you're there, you're the guy. You know what I'm saying? But Jalil, but Houdini's never gotten to me, even though they've done some things, the Source thing and the, you know, they've done some things, but they've never gotten their just due. You know what I'm saying? And that really disappoints me with Houdini, because Houdini had a lot of firsts. And you got to look at the talent back then. Houdini was above the bar. Jalil raised the bar in songwriting. Jalil is a fantastic songwriter. You see what I'm saying? And X, come on, man. There's nobody flows like him. Hey, you guys really don't know. Man, you know what? That's a whole nother show to talk about Houdini. Man, I'm going to leave that up to you. Dude, it would behoove you. If you really want to know about Houdini, you need to talk to Jalil and X, and they will tell you. And stuff that you would never think and never know. Houdini is one of the most amazing groups in the history of hip-hop. People don't understand that. And, yeah, that's a show that you should get. Anyways, but, yeah. Shout out to my people, my Houdini crew. Big Mel, Doc Ice, Wiz, Jalil, X. One love, y'all.
Man, one love. Big shouts out to you gentlemen, man. And we'd love to have that. We'll love to get that, man, get you back, Muck. And hopefully, man, you can go ahead and make that happen, man. We'd love to have Houdini on here, man, to tell their story. You know what I mean?
That's a story that you really want to hear. Especially since you got an hour or two. Man, an hour of Houdini, it'll blow your mind.
But man, I wanna fast forward though. Let's fast forward to this present day. That was the past.
Okay.
We visited the past. We talked about LL, Houdini, Ralph. Now let's talk about this present time. I played the jam. I just played the cut called Attitude. You know what I'm saying? And let's talk about that project. But what's up with this project, Mo? Go ahead and let the listeners know. What's going on?
This album is called Suspicious Packages 2. Now, we'll get into the two part of it, you know, because I released a one, but people didn't know about it. But this is Suspicious Packages 2. It's my first studio album in over 20 years. Now, I had a partner. I want to get this. I got to say this first and foremost. The music on here, I was really, really meticulous and really picky when it came to the songs that went on this album. I mean, to the point where some of my tracks, matter of fact, most of my tracks didn't even make the album. They're the ones that I actually physically made myself. I have a partner. His name is Earl Hardy. We call him Early On. This cat is one of the funkiest, most incredible West Coast type producers. No, I won't say producers, musicians. He's the best kept secret on the West Coast, man. People don't know about Earl, but this album should put Earl where he's supposed to be. Now, let me tell you a little more about this album. Most of the stuff that you hear on this album is Earl. It's me and Earl. The way him and I work, I'm like the cook, but Earl is the farmer that grows the food. You see what I'm saying? And so I'll go shopping to the grocery store and go to the produce section and get a whole bunch of Earl stuff and go and cook that motherfucker. So that's how Earl and I work. So, having said that, this is the first studio album that I've been involved with that I've done that I had my hands on in over 20 years. Because I had retired from music completely. I can remember the day. I can remember the song that made me retire. Do you want to know what it was?
Of course we do. That's why we're here. Lay it on us.
When I heard, now see, early hip, I mean, that genre of hip hop back in 2010, 11, you know, that stuff, I was holding on to hip hop the way it was, but I was willing to accept the changes. Some of the stuff that I heard was stupid to me, but it was still hip hop culture. So I gritted my teeth and I bared it. I still DJed because I was with Uncle Jam's Army, so I still DJed. I would have to play these records at my gigs. But there was one song that was made called, and you're going to remember this when I say it, Chicken Noodle Soup with a Soda on the Side.
Yeah. I think that
you
was Lil Mama. Thank you.
Lil Mama is from New York. That song right there pushed me over the edge and into retirement from music. I wouldn't even listen to music on the radio. I was listening to talk radio when I retired. And I started doing what I've always wanted to do was coach football. So I started doing that. Coached youth football and moved on up to the high school ranks. And now I'm the GM of a semi-pro team. So that song right there pushed me into retirement. So I was done with music. Then I heard this one girl. Her name is Razzo. And she pretty much let me have a little more faith in hip-hop. But the main reason I got back into it, because I was going from, 1998 all the way to 2014, I'll say, 13, 14. Gone, just done with it. And when I heard her, plus I didn't want to see, I couldn't just sit back and watch a culture that I feel that I helped build. Being a pioneer, I couldn't let it go down in flames like that. So, I said, you know what? Let me start putting together some of these artists that I've come across during my retirement, some of the things that I've heard and ideas that have, because you still got it in your bones, there's ideas in your head that you want to just experiment with. So got back into the studio. That with Roslyn, we've made a whole bunch of good stuff. But Roslyn, everybody is not built for the necessities of the music industry. Some people just want to just sing or rap. But they don't want to take care of the business aspect. And if you don't take care of the business aspect of the side of it, it's a recipe for disaster. So, needless to say, I'm not working with her right now anymore, but she is on the Suspicious Package album as a singing in a couple of hooks. Matter of fact, EBT, she's the girl that's singing the melodies in the background of EBT. I think you're going to play that probably later on. But I got back into it, and this album, Suspicious Packages 2, was 4 years in the making. It's a culmination of artists and songs that I've listened to and we've made, and 'cause I built a studio here in my house. And we put it together, and I actually sat back and listened to this stuff for almost 3.5 years. And I still wasn't tired of it. So I wasn't tired of it at all. After 3.5 years, I play this shit every day. And I'm like, this shit is banging, but I'm the only one hearing it. So it's new to everybody.
Right.
And some people were saying, you know, that's the old school West Coast, you know, G-Funk stuff, man. This stuff is played out. I'm like, really? There's no expiration date on good music. There's no expiration date on that. It's called longevity. If it's, I'm always going with the feeling. I go with the feeling when it comes with music. Not the sound, if it feels good, yeah, go with it. Come on, man. Because that's what music is. It makes people feel good. It makes people feel a certain way. So if you put your feeling, or if you use your feeling as a measuring tool for your project, I mean, that's half the battle. Number one, it's not half the battle, but that's a piece of the battle. So it's been interesting how this album has been received. I love the album. People that know me, I don't like nothing I do. But of all the songs that I did up to Suspicious Packages 2, the only song that I actually loved was not an LL song. It was a song, a gospel song that I did with this kid called T-Bone. It was called Thief in the Night. That's the only song I like. I love that song. Still to this day love it. But this Suspicious Packages 2 album, I love the entire album. The entire album. I even love the intro. It's funky.
So
it makes me it's one of them albums you can just listen to over and over and over again.
So who's on Attitude? We opened up the show with Attitude. what artist is on Attitude?
Attitude. Let me give you the story of Attitude. First of all, on the track, that's my man Earl. Earl Funky, Earl Hard. Earl got that lick going. And the rapper on there, the rappers on there are Philosophy, who's all over the album. He's on EBT. He's on that's him on Attitude. He's on Y'all Make Us Laugh with Breeze and Big Jock. He's on I Won't Change with John Michael. You hear John Michael's the song, This Is What We Do. You said you like that shit. But yeah. But Attitude is Philosophy. And the second rapper that on there, his name is Creeze. And those are two artists that are here on Covert, you know, part of our family, the Covert family. And they all have albums coming out on Covert soon. The Creeze's album is almost done. Philosophy got so many songs that he's having a hard time picking 10 songs. You know what I'm saying? And so if he's going to make me pick them, you know, it may not be what he wants. So I don't know, because there's some stuff on there that I like that he, you know, that he don't like and vice versa. So, and then, like I said, Creeze is going to come out with his album. John Michael, he's definitely going to have an album. And then there's Alex Price. Man, there's so much talent on this album. And like I say, it's a culmination of people that I've come across during this reinvention process. You know what I'm saying? So, Attitude, that's Philosophy and Creed.
All right. So we heard from Philosophy and Creed. You just mentioned about the young lady. I think her name was Rizzo, correct?
Yeah, her name is Roz. Her name is
Rizzo.
Right, okay, Rizzo. And she, we call her Rota Soda. And she, she's on the in the hook on EBT. She's
EBT.
Just singing some melody and stuff like that. But her presence is felt on there.
So,
and EBT, that's also Philosophy.
Right, and so I want you to go ahead and introduce at this time the EBT joint. This would be a great time to go ahead and bang it for all the listeners out there.
Yeah, no doubt. EBT. It's called Everybody's Tripping. Everybody's Tripping. And this is Philosophy featuring Razzo in the hooks. And EBT is probably one of the funkiest tracks I think that Earl has ever made. To me, I love this track. It makes me bounce. You can't help but bob your head to it. I dare you to try not to. If you don't bob your head to this, you're a hater.
But let's get it. EBT, let's go.
EBT, y'all.
If they like any of them cuts so far, man, where can they get the album?
Yeah, you can go. You can go to. It's, of course, you can go to. what do you call that? Spotify and all the platforms. Any mm-hmm. platform you can think of. Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, all of them. They all have it. However, if you want the album, the entire album, for $2, just go to the website, order it, mm-hmm. and I will send it to you personally. It's $2.
Okay.
The entire album.
Y'all heard that.
So it's www.covertentertainmentsoundworks.com/sound-lab. If you go there, or just go to the Covert website and go to the menu, and it's under Sound Labs. It's under there, and you'll see it's only $2. I love the album. I love the album. And I think it has something for everybody on there. It's got R&B, it's got funk, it's got ballads, it's got hardcore hip-hop, it's got G-funk, it's got softer hip-hop, it's got fun shit. It even got a Christmas song on there.
mm.
You know what I'm saying? It's got a little bit something for everybody that I think you definitely will enjoy.
Wow, and there it is, man. I must say, though, I'm impressed. I'm impressed with the music I heard so far because it's authentic. It's that real West Coast, bro. It's none of that.
Yes, sir.
Nowadays, I'm going to be honest. I'm from the South, and at one point in time, the South was looked over when you had the LLs, Run DMCs, and they was really doing their thing. The South, we really weren't getting no love. We had the Ghetto Boys, you know what I'm saying, back then. Mine's playing tricks on me.
Luda!
We really, you know what I'm saying, we weren't getting no love, but now the South got the game in like the chokehold, and I visit a lot of places from the East to the West, and everybody trying to sound like the South, you know what I'm saying? So when I hear music like this coming from the West Coast, and there's none of that cadence of That seems like that has to be right now. That did it out there.
Right, I think that annoys the shit out of me. Because everybody
right,
does
so,
it. If one or two people do it,
right,
fine. Everybody
does it. Everybody does it. Everybody does it. And it's like the fad of right now. That cadence or that sound. But to hear what I just heard. West Coast sound, West Coast. It for me, it makes me appreciate music, hip hop again, because that's a different sound. And when I want to hear something different, I'm glad there's something that I can get into. It was like that back in the day when you picked up, you know, from DJ Quick to Dre, you know what I'm saying? It was different.
That's West Coast.
It was different.
It's West Coast.
So
it's real music.
Yeah.
It's real music. Like I say, there's no expiration date on good music. And I mean, and it feels good. You know what I'm saying? It does not offend me at all, even though it's G-funk, old school, you know, oh, that was back in 93. And are you dancing? Is your neck sore from bobbing your head? Then shut up
mm-hmm.
and bob.
Right. Man,
don't be a hater.
Shut up and roll up.
Yeah, shut up and roll up. You know, there's another song on there called L.A. with the Ooh La La. That's my boy Nutcase. We call him Nutcase. His name is California. And it's featuring Melee.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a theme song for L.A., a new one. Because everybody, you got to have an L.A. Or wherever you're from, you gotta have a theme song every 5-10 years. You gotta have one.
Right.
I think this is the one.
You gotta have one. Yeah, that's real talk. That's real talk. You gotta have one. So look. Right now, since you did that, let's just go ahead and get into the LA joint.
Okay.
So long with that. All right. So look. With that being said, listeners, we're getting ready to get into this LA. This is off the Suspicious Packages 2 album that is available now. Like Muffler told you, you can go to the website and get it for $2. That's covertentertainmentsoundworks.com. covertentertainmentsoundworks.com. Go there, man. Get it right now. I'm going to toss it to my man, Monk, so he can go ahead and introduce this L.A. Monk, you got it. Let's get it.
Yo, this is L.A. with the Ooh La La. This is California featuring my man, Melee. It's the new L.A. I feel it's the new L.A. theme song. It's funky. My man, Earl, shout out on the track. And, yeah, L.A. with the Ooh La La, Covert Entertainment.
Let's go. California, big pop, nigga on the body car. Ooh, Mr. Leon, Covert in the shit, nigga. I'm low budget but fuck it. Still rolling cutlass with a strap in the stash. Trust it, wouldn't hesitate to bust it. The one with CA on his stomach. AKs to put the grip pumps, been there and dunk it. Addicted to pretty bitches and hitting switches. Off two licks to get 66 inches. Clown for bad bitches. Turning lane dipping, three willing on hunting. One in the ass spinning. La la land, like la la land. Make a million off a dollar, I can. City of the palm trees, big titty bomb weed. Try to get you in the penitentiary, but not me. Keep it wet though, nice and tucked in some fresh clothes. Fuck stress in your dress code. T-shirt, Levi's, and flipped up hat. Same place LeBron wanted to end up back.
LA, over your Morocco, the West though. Bang on my block, all this shit for tempo. That's all. But a few shots to make him audio. Big puff, Mr. Califo, early on.
LA, to the green, green, heck out. With grips and blood for the heck out.
LA, on the block with that ooh-la-la.
LA,
with that ooh-la-la. On the block with that ooh-la-la.
LA,
with that ooh-la-la. On the block with that ooh-la-la.
LA, nigga, this the way I call.
On the block with that ooh-la-la.
LA, California.
On the block with that ooh-la-la. That ooh-la-la,
LA,
with that ooh-la-la, on the block with that ooh-la-la,
LA, nigga, this the way I call,
when the words of the East is flowing, oh,
LA.
Welcome back, that was LA, you know what I'm talking about, that is off the Suspicious Packages 2 album, available now. Muffler, what's good, man?
Yes, sir.
Man, dope music, man. Dope music, dope music, man. What you got to say to the people about this dope music we just heard?
You know what? This album, here was my idea, because, you know, I smoke a lot of weed, so I got a wild imagination. I was going to take this album was supposed to save the hip-hop culture all by itself. That's why I'm going to put this album out, and it's going to fix hip-hop. And that was the goal. This album was structured. It was focused. It was actually put together, and you could tell the work that we put into it. Because, like I say, I'm really, really happy with the album. I'm happy with all the artists on there. I mean, there's a jazz song on there that's amazing. I mean, there's so much stuff on this album that people can learn from, they can sing to, rap to. I mean, it kind of makes you want more. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually working on a Suspicious Package Album 3 because this is really was West Coast heavy. So I want Suspicious Package 2, I mean 3, to be East Coast heavy. I mean heavy. I want Doc Ice back on. You know, I want a Houdini. I want all my East Coast partners. The ones that I've worked with down through the years, I want them on that album. Gotta have it. Chuck D, Davey DMX, I want all these guys. I gotta have it.
Well, I can't wait. Suspicious Packages 2 is out now, people. Suspicious Packages 3, East Coast Heavy, is on the way. So,
yes,
talk
sir.
About the music, man, and people go get that. But I want to talk about something else now, man, give you an opportunity. You did mention that you was a general manager of a semi-pro football team. So let's get into a little bit of sports, man. We talked about the music. That's out now. So let's talk about these sports, this semi-pro football team, man. What's going on, and how did you, Muff, get into general managing a semi football team. Let's go.
Okay. Well, first of all, shout out to Norma Cook. She's the owner of the team that I'm the general manager for, the High Desert Phoenix, out here in Palmdale, California. And Norma is the longest tenured female minority coach. I mean, not coach, but owner in the country. She's the longest. She's had this team. This is our 10th year anniversary. And she's had this team for 10 years. And 1 year, I was pretty much winding down my football coaching career in high school. I was at Palmdale High School, previously at AV High School, which was previously at Highland High School. You know, I did my rounds out here in the high school coaching ranks. So that was winding down, and I was on Facebook, and I saw this lady. She said she wanted to she was looking for coaches. And I'm like, really? For a semi-pro team? And I heard of them because coach he had before, his name was David Stowe, he had told me about them years before, but I never really paid much attention to it. So I got in touch with her on Facebook and said, you know what, let me come and see what you got. So she told me to meet her at the park. It was at Marie Kerr Park out in Palmdale, and they were having practice. They were having tryouts. This was May 4th of 2017. I'll never forget this. So when I got there, I met Norma. She introduced me to a couple of the players. I knew a couple of them from coaching them in high school, you know, previously. And if people know about semi-pro, it's 18 and up. You know, it's grown man football. I have players on my team right now. I got one on my team right now. His name is Lester Malone. He's 55 years old. You know, playing left tackle. You know, he does his thing. But anyway, I got there. I met Norma. And when I got there, I said, you know, let me see what you got. But what I did see was what she didn't have. She didn't have a brand manager. She didn't have business affairs. She didn't have an attorney. She didn't have a publicist. You know what I'm saying? Just the stuff, the behind-the-scenes stuff that you would need, because I didn't – I mean, with something like this, you would want to use it, you know, to its optimum. You know what I'm saying? It's a stepping stone for some guys that want to go to the next level. They may not have been eligible to play in school or college, but they're phenomenal athletes. But now they don't have to worry about classes in order to get, you know, exposure in the sport that they love and that they may be good at. So I said, Norma, I tell you what, I won't coach, but I will be your GM. I'll get you some coaches. I will, you know, I'll give you 5 years. And if I can't turn it, because we had talked about some, you know, the business end of the Phoenix, what was going on. They were losing money, and it was, you know, it wasn't fledgling, but it was just, it just wasn't run properly, I didn't think. Because most people in semi-pro, no, not most, some people in semi-pro, they run their teams like their youth football parks and recs teams. No, this is a stepping stone for some guys to get to the next level. So I immediately went to work. I hired a coaching staff. I hired a head coach. He was a young kid. Tyrell Tarbell was our boy. And then Sam Viana, he's our defensive coordinator. KG, who was already previously a coach with Norma years before I got there, he was still there. And Stanley Barrage, Norma hired him. And then a friend of mine that I had coached youth football with, Tony Mendoza. I hired all of them. I knew them. Only one I didn't know was Stanley. And so I put together the coaching staff for her, and we immediately went to work. I found her a publicist, Makita Smith. I found her a brand manager, Terry Davis. And we just, you know, I just started putting stuff together. But the first thing to do was to stop that water from leaking. She was losing between 17 and 20 grand a year. You know what I'm saying? That's a lot of money for a semi-pro team. You know what I'm saying? So the first thing I had to do was get that faucet shut off. So I moved it. She was playing her games out in Roseman, which is, people know, where in California, that's about 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes north of Lancaster. Lancaster is the most northern city in L.A. County, and Rosemont is the first city you come to in Kern County. Those are, you know, completely different counties. And first thing I wanted to do was shut that water out because she was paying she was paying a lot of money for the field, and then we, you know, it was just a whole lot of things that were going on. And so how do you eat an elephant? You know, one piece at a time. So we just started chopping that tree down. We wanted to get the fan base up, so we wanted to move them into town, into Lancaster, the Lancaster Palmdale area, so we could, you know, really get with our community where most of us were from. And and I told her, if I can't turn this organization around in 5 years, I'll fire myself. I told her I'd give her 5 years. And I told her, I promise you a championship, at least one championship, within the 5 years. So, having said that, and to make a long story short, we won the championship the very first year. That was her first championship. She'd never won a championship before. We went 10-1. We beat the crap out of the team we played in the final. And we established ourselves as a real football team. You know what I'm saying? At first we were doormats, but now we were a real football team and somebody that you had to really look out for. But the people around the league were like, you know what? The PCFC, that's the league we're in, the PCFC is weak. You guys won the championship with nobody in the league. You know, the Beach City Giants weren't in there, the Riverside Disciples, all these powerhouse teams that have won before weren't in the league that year. So we're like, okay, whatever. So the following year, if anybody knows anything about semi-pro, the entire coaching staff was gone, because when you have a winner, schools and whatever, they'll pick your whole team apart. There were kids that were leaving. We have a gray shirt program. It's kids that want to go to college or go to the next level in college, they play with us, get film, but they go to school at the same time. That's part of the requirements. They have to go to school and then get eligible to go to school to play ball. So we sent three guys to Antelope Valley College, you know, from our graduation program. But we got picked apart, needless to say. The coaching staff was gone, the entire coaching staff. Tyrell ended up coaching. He got a job in coaching in Vegas. Coach Vieta got a job coaching at Pierce College. Stanley started his own team. You know, it was just wild. So we had a skeleton crew coaching staff pretty much the second year. And instead of winning the championship again, we kind of took some steps backwards. So we ended up 4-4, I think, that year. We still went to the playoffs, but it was a total disaster. I like to win. You know, everybody likes to win. So we had to make some major changes for this year. So the entire coaching staff that we had the second year, gone. I became the head coach. Not only was I the GM, but I became the head coach. And I hired some more coaches. I hired some people that I knew that were up and coming. Robert Sterling, up and coming. Lester, he was a friend of mine. And he's and Chris Cliff Abbey. I hired another coaching staff. And we put together another team because we wanted to get back to the standards that Sam and Tyrell had set that championship season. We took a step back that second year of me being a GM. So I wanted to get back to that. And the only person I could trust to put it back where Sam and Tyrell had put it was myself. So that's why I took on the job as head coach. So right now, fast forward. Well, no, let me back up. I don't want to fast forward too far. When it came to marketing, we marketed the crap out of this season. It was our 10th anniversary season, and I reached out to all the hip-hop. I reached out to LL first because we wanted him to come. We always have a celebrity coin toss, and I wanted him to come and do the coin toss. And his schedule is so crazy. she said, I can't do it, but I'll do a video for you. And it was his idea to start this marketing campaign for the 10th anniversary of the Highland Theaters. He tells me, yo, Muff, all the people you know, why don't you get everybody to just do a video? It's easier. I mean, people got schedules. They can't, you know, come to Palmdale, you know, for free and, you know, just have them do videos. I'm like, you know what? Thank you. So I reached out to, got him. He sent the video. Monifa, Jerry Ball from the Detroit Lions, just the people that I knew, Flavor Flav, Chuck D, Ice-T, all of them did videos for me. Wishing the High Desert Phoenix happy 10th anniversary and wishing Norma good luck this season. And it was like a boost. So the next step was, let's do something. I'm thinking in my head, let's do something that hasn't been done in semi-pro for the 10th anniversary. So what we did was plan a Monday night football game before the NFL jumped into their Monday night schedule for an already football-hungry audience. You know what I'm saying? So we planned on July 29th of this past year, this past summer, we had the very first Monday night semi-pro football game in history, and we live-streamed it. And it went over so well. And we played the West Coast Lions. Now, the West Coast Lions, anybody know about semi-pro? They're one of the better teams in Southern California. Great athletes, huge linemen, you know, just a really good team. And, of course, I, as a GM, I was looking at the big picture of it. It was really – the Monday night game was really good for semi-pro ball. I wasn't really worried too much about winning. And everybody was saying, oh, you guys are going to get rolled over and in front of, you know, 2,000 people. I'm like, okay, but the key word in that is the 2,000. The 2,000 people, right. You see what I'm saying? So I was cool with that. I didn't mind us getting rolled over. It was a Monday night game. It was a non-league game. And we went on and had it, and it was a huge success, and we won the game against a powerhouse football team. So that started our season off this year. First game, Monday night football, July 29th. We were the only game in the country. Nobody was playing football on a Monday night on July 29th. The NFL didn't start until the following week with the Hall of Fame game. So we were the only game in town. We were the only game in the country. Needless to say, the live feed was great and all that stuff. So let me fast forward to now. We've been through our whole regular season. We are now 8-1. We took a loss to a team in the middle of the season, or in the beginning of the season, that in overtime, 36-30. And after that, the team, we got together and we said, we're not going to lose any more games. So we are now 8-1. We just played the team that was undefeated in our league, the Beach City Giants. Shout out to Rose Black. We just played them at home this past Saturday. And they were boasting that they had not given up more than 6 points all year, their defense. And we beat them 38-20. beat them 38-20. And so that made us the first seed, the number one seed for the playoffs, which starts this coming Saturday. So we're in a great position to win another title. Now, this, like I say, this is my third year as the GM of the High Desert Phoenix. I gave Norma 5 years, told her I was going to get her at least one. We're on the verge of having two in 3 years. So, everything's going well right now with the High Desert Phoenix.
Right, and that's dope. So you're 8-1. When does the playoffs start?
The playoffs start Saturday, October 19th at Pete Knight High School down here in Palmdale. We're playing the Riverside Disciples. Now, we beat them earlier in the season, 22-16. But we didn't beat them. We beat them by the score, but we didn't beat that ass. And that's the goal this year and this week coming up is to show them. Because we had 5 turnovers. One of them was a pick six in the first game, and we still beat them 22-16. So,
okay.
We eliminate the mistakes, they're going to see the real High Desert Phoenix. That's what's going down.
All right.
We're going to eliminate
the mistakes. So, this Saturday, this Saturday, October 19th, the High Desert Phoenix will have their first playoff game. So, Muff,
that's
right. Because I'm not too familiar with the semi-pro. How many games do you play in the playoffs before you get to the championship game?
Okay, well, this year, the way the commissioner has it, the teams, if you had a losing record, you wasn't eligible for the playoffs. So there was only four teams. So we're having a semifinal this week. The top four is the High Desert Phoenix, the Beach City Giants, the Blue Devils, and the Disciples. Number one plays number four. Number two plays number three. The winner of those goes to the championship on the 26th. That's next week.
Okay.
So now.
So do both teams play on the 19th?
Yes, both teams play on the 19th, and the championship is on the 26th, and that's the way it's going down. And so we plan to bring home that championship, and I actually am going to start a spring league team. It's called the North County Zulus, and my man Tony Reed. What's up, Tony? Lucy and Ron Clark, Elliot Limbrick down in the LDFL. That's the new league for the spring. And if anybody really knows anything about the semi-pro, the Inglewood Blackhawks are pretty – well, I call them the gold standard. I think they're the gold standard in semi-pro football on the West Coast. And they just recently joined the LDFL with the East Coast League. So when the end of the season comes together, you can have a national championship that's legitimate because you're getting teams from across the country, not just, you know, in Southern California or just on the East Coast. So the LDFL is joining, I think it's the GFL, and the goal is to get the Zulus up and running and for the spring before we come back next year for the fall with the High Desert Phoenix again for another championship. My thing is to win championships in the spring and the fall. And in order to be the best, you got to beat the best. So I'm glad we've applied to be in the LDFL with the Inglewood Blackhawks and the Vegas Trojans and the West Coast Lions, the Beach City Giants, I heard, put in their application, the San Diego Rays, the San Diego Silverbacks. There's some teams that are really, really good out here, so we're going to see where we fit in as the Zulus during the spring. But the High Desert Phoenix, I want them to rule the fall, you know, season. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens these next 2 weeks.
Well, there you have it. There you have it, man. Again, man, congrats, hats off. Rooting for the High Desert Phoenix. These next 2 weeks, that y'all will go ahead and take care of business this Saturday, and then win the championship, bring the championship home. Now, 2017, I take it that you all won the championship. 2018, you didn't, and now you're competing for the championship again here in 2019. And this is your third year of your five-year commitment, and you already fulfilled the obligation of winning the championship because you did it in 2017. So you trying to get multiples, and you trying to get multiples in your 5 year tenure with the High Desert Phoenix, and hopefully this will bring you your second championship as the GM, man.
Well, I've gotten greedy now. I mean, we've already reached that goal, so now we got to set another goal. So the goals now are: I got two more years after this year, so I need an undefeated season, and I need a back to back. So that's gotta happen.
Mm-hmm.
Or I failed, or I consider it a failure. So we'll see what happens, man. We will definitely see what happens.
Man, so Muff, man, I enjoyed this interview with you, bro. At this time, I'm gonna give you the final words, man. You any shouts out? Tell the people where to go, purchase links to get the music, to support the team, whatever you want to do at this time, man. I'm gonna give you the final words, but be sure you give out your social media, man, and let the people know where they can find your website, things like that. But at this time, Muff, you got it. Let's get it.
Okay. I want to give a shout-out first and foremost to my queen, my wife, Dee Dee Simon. She's over next door doing some work. I want to give her a shout-out. I love you, baby. And I want to give a shout-out to the Covert family, my man Earl. Earl, they playing your shit, boy. And Earl, Philosophy, Kreese, John Michael, Alex Price, California, Melee, all the Gerald Border Cheetah and Big Phil and all the Covert family. I want to give a shout-out to you guys. Yo, feel real proud of the work that we put together. We're going to do a lot more. If you want the album, if you want to get in touch with Muff, first information on the album is Covert Entertainment, Soundworks.com, www.covertentertainmentsoundworks.com. Go to the website. You can look to get it. I ain't even got tracks on there. Tracks from Earl, tracks from me, and, you know, for some up-and-coming rappers, if you want to get some tracks and some of that West Coast folks, go to our website. You can catch me on Instagram, Hey Yo Muff. You can catch me at Twitter, at Muffler Simon, and Facebook. I have two Facebook pages. The first one is Dwayne Muffler Simon. The second one is Muffler Dwayne Simon. Those are the only two pages I got. So if anything else comes through that just says Dwayne Simon, that's my son, Dwayne Simon Jr. So the other ones are just me. So you can catch me on there. And shout-out to Houdini. It's my Houdini family. I want to give a big shout-out to Jay King. Jay King is actually acting as my attorney right now. We're looking over some agreements, and we're going to see what happens with that. And I want to say shout-out to my Uncle Jam's Army family. I want to give a shout-out to the L.A. Posse family. They know who they are. And, dang, man, it's like when you're on stage trying to win an award. You're going to forget somebody. but charge it to the head and not the heart. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, sir. It was really, really
smoke
fun.
Smoke weed too. Every day.
Yeah. Shout out to the plug. Shout out to the plug.
That's real talk. That's real talk.
Yeah,
that's
and my
high
Delta Phoenix family. Shout out, yo! I love y'all, man. I love my squad. They make me mad, but I love my squad. Strange, Tree, Sydney, DJ, Sterling. Oh, y'all make me sick. Wooda, you really get on my nerves. My man Justin. Yo, y'all know I love all y'all. Hicks. Yo, love y'all. Let's go get this championship.
Man, indeed. So, with that being said, man, we rooting for the High Desert Phoenix, man, this Saturday, October the 19th. They in the playoffs. Let me ask. You said y'all playing the number 4 team, correct? Because y'all finished number 1, correct?
Yeah, we finished number 1. We're playing the Riverside Disciples.
Mm-hmm. So y'all play the number 4 team, Riverside Disciples. So do y'all got the first game or the second game?
And the Beach City Giants are playing the Blue Devils.
And who play first? Y'all two teams or the other two teams?
Well, there's two separate locations. I think the Beach City game is going to go first because they're probably going to play at like 5, maybe 3. You know, they probably may play earlier in the day, but our game is going to be in the evening. It's going to be like about between five and 7 o'clock. We haven't gotten confirmation for the field yet. We'll get that probably sometime tonight, and we'll know. It's probably going to be 7 o'clock though. 7 o'clock on the 26th.
Right.
B Knight High School in Palmdale.
Okay. B Knight. That's B Knight High School.
No, Pete. Pete
Knight.
Pete
Knight High School
in Palmdale. Yeah.
Okay, so Pete Knight High School in Palmdale, Saturday, October 19th.
7 o'clock.
There y'all go. So there y'all have it. Y'all can go see them boys playing first round of the playoffs. Muff,
yes,
I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you, man. I appreciate the groundwork you done laid, man, up until this point. the stuff you still doing right now, man, with the new artists, such as Philosophy, such as Nutcase, such as, I think her name was Razzo. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All the people you got, Earl, my man Earl, Goat Beats, Dope Funk,
yeah.
L.A., that West Coast, For Real West Coast, Authentic Sound. You all got
yes,
it, man, on this album, Suspicious Packages 2. And I can't wait to listen to the rest of it. But, man, again, I have to give you a round of applause, man. I'm going to give you your day back, and I appreciate you stopping through. So let's go ahead and give you a round of applause at this time, man. One, two, three. Yes.
All right.
Yes, indeed.
Yo, Philo, I'm proud of you, dude. I'm proud of you, man. You one of my favorite motherfuckers, man. That's for real. You one of my favorite dudes, man. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it, bro. You know, some shit just don't change, man. Real shit don't change. So, you know, I pride myself on being a real dude, man. So, you know, man, we'll link up, though, man. We'll link behind the scenes, man. I appreciate you taking time out to be here. When I seen the name come across, because Valerie gets informed first, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when I seen the name, I'm like, I know Muff. And when I went, I'm like, yeah, that is Muff. Man,
yes,
I can't wait. You know what I'm
yes,
saying?
Sir.
I can't wait. So, it
so
really
excited.
Assures the fact that it assures the fact, man, that I have to give my hats off to Valerie Denise Jones, because she works so damn hard, man, and making this platform run, the graphics, everything you see, the branding, man, that's all her. You know what I mean? So she makes my job hella easy. And so, you know, I show up to show out because she puts in work and you know, so we here, man, doing what we do, having this platform, man, for people like yourself, paying homage to the legends, because a lot of times, man, the young cats, no knock to y'all, but y'all don't understand. Before y'all went through that door, it was somebody who had to open that door, who had to go through that door before you. You know what I'm saying? And they arranged it and laid rules and regulations. And, you know, without them, it wouldn't be no us. It wouldn't be no you. So that's why this platform is here, man, is to really pay homage so we don't ever forget where we come from. Because once you do that, man, you lose the essence of life to me. Once you start smelling your ass, forgetting where you come from, man, thinking that everything started with you and you this and the world owe you something, you start losing. You start finding yourself slipping in the ranks. So we want to make sure we don't ever do that, and that's why we have this platform, to pay homage to the ones who come before us and to let y'all know, man, y'all got a platform in us, man. Y'all got somebody who appreciates the essence, who appreciates the grind, who appreciates the ones who come before. So if you don't respect grandmama and them, then you can't respect the people who put it down in this industry before you. So that's pretty much what we're here for, Muff. And again, hats off to you, man. I want to give you your accolades while you're here. Because people love doing that shit when you die, don't they? You know what I'm saying?
Like, yes, sir.
My shit,
yes, sir.
Here,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
You showing big respect to the culture, man. That's what I love. Big respect to the culture. They got the youngsters. A lot of the youngsters don't respect the culture. You got to respect the hip-hop culture, man. This is the way we live. This is ours. We made this. We built this. Let's keep it going.
Yeah. And I give you my word, we're going to keep it going, and we're going to keep it going the right way, man, making sure that we do pay homage, making sure we do always lift our voice, man, and, you know, be a stamp in the game, make our footprint in the same, you know, in the concrete, actually, because the same, it'll wash away. We want to make ours in the concrete so it'll be permanent. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
Indeed. Yeah, man, so I'm going to give you a day back, man, so you can go back and think about, man, Saturday. I know the GM. I know you're going to be up in the booth looking down.
Yes,
hoping
sir.
That every
yes,
play go your way. You know what
I might
saying?
Be in the snack bar, though, too.
Hell yeah, man. You're going to be at the snack bar. You out there with that, you know what I'm talking about, the land of the sticky. You know
yes,
what I'm
sir.
Saying?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, you know, yeah.
Okay.
The snack bar is a stop. I know that for sure. For sure.
All right.
Indeed. But once again, man, I'll give you a day back, man. Look, anytime you want to stop through, man, don't be a stranger, bro. Don't let this be your first and last time, bro.
All right, bro. Yeah, we got to talk more often, man. One love. And don't forget. Oh, yeah. That's right. I forgot. Dude, you got to send me some acapellas. I need those. I'm gonna put some of your voices on Earl's work.
All right. I will. I'll get you some acapellas, man, ASAP. I will do that.
Yes,
my
sir.
Word.
Yeah, hook me up, and I'm going to hook you up.
Indeed.
Because Earl's
going to
hook me up.
Indeed. All right. I'll do that. So that's next. That's on the to-do list to get you some acapellas, man. And I can't wait to see what
yeah.
y'all do with them.
Yeah, and don't forget to play that John Michael joint you like. This is what we do, because this is what we do.
Yeah, hey, I can't wait. I can't wait to get to it, bro. And all six of them joints. And I'm gonna call you personally, bro. Once I play them and let you know what I'm saying, what I think of them of the other three. Because I played three.
Yeah, give me your honest opinion. You ain't
going
to hurt my feelings. Yeah, give me your honest opinion. You ain't going to hurt my feelings, bro.
Yeah, I am. I'm going to call you and give you that for sure. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I'm going to do that. All right?
One love.
All right, love. Hey, y'all listening to Big Exclusive right there. That was my man, Muff, from the L.A. Posse. You know what I'm talking about. And look, the Phoenix, the High Desert Phoenix, they will be playing this Saturday in the playoffs, this Saturday at 7 p.m. You know what I'm talking about, so please go out there and support my man. Suspicious Packages 2 is out, available on all streaming sites, on all platforms. But like he told you right here on Big Exclusives, if you go to the website, you can get it for a whopping $2. You know what I'm saying? $2 for luck. So go spend your last $2 getting that Suspicious Packages. You know what I'm talking about. So with that being said, man, I am your boy, Philo the Great, man. Get rid of the quitter, barbecue and meal, dude. Some will, some won't, some do, some don't. And if you got a problem with anything that has been said today, you know you always got two choices, either check it or respect it. You know what I'm talking about? We out of here. Gone. Valerie!
We're always interested in what you have to say about our live broadcasts.
Please share your comments on our Facebook page or websites.